Let's go to the book of Genesis this morning, Genesis chapter 45. We had planned on preaching this last week. Certainly was prepared, but I'm glad that the Holy Ghost of God came last week. Let me take the morning set aside and just watch Him do some preaching. I like when other people preach. I really do. Providing they got something good to say, I like hearing people preach. And I love it when the Holy Ghost of God comes in. And I preached this last Sunday night up at Mountain View. And I went ahead and done it there. I'm going to do it here, but I've changed a little bit about it. So I have some different things for those of you that were there and heard it that night. I appreciate all of you coming out that Sunday night. We had about 30 folks that came out Sunday night to Mountain View, and I appreciate that. And different folks come out during the week and join with us. And that's a long trip up there, I know. But we thank you so much for coming out. And God certainly did a great work up there. We saw people saved this week. And when God saves just one soul, it makes it worth it. But He saved more than one this week, and I thank God for that. God was certainly there with us, and I certainly do praise God for that. Genesis 45, begin reading in verse number 16. If you find your place in the Word, we'd ask you to stand this morning. Let's honor the reading of God's holy Word. Genesis 45, verse number 16. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lade your beasts, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan. Take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came unto the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Let's pray. My Father, I thank you. Lord, as we have come into this place this morning, God, we've come, Lord, simply to worship you. And God, we have given you the praise and the honor, Lord, that you deserve. So many folks have testified of your goodness this morning. God, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the songs that have been sung today, God. How we can understand, Father, we can trust you, Lord. There has not one good promise of your word ever failed. God, I thank you for that. Help us to stand on your word, God. Father, I know, Lord, that there are folks here that have problems, Lord, I know. God, there are some here that have physical problems, Lord. There are those here today that are fighting cancer. God, I pray for them right now. God, I pray, my Lord, God, because I know you're the great physician, Lord. And I know, God, that you can touch their bodies. My God, I pray, Lord, that you would reach down, Father, and do a work within their bodies physically. God, give them a touch from heaven. God, I know there are those here this morning that are struggling, Lord, with all kinds of emotional things going on in their lives. The cares of this world, they're worried over things, God. They don't seem to have direction. God, they're searching, God, for something this morning. Lord, would you meet with them now, God, I pray. God, just show up this morning, Lord, I pray. Just show up, God. Lord, I pray, meet with them. God, I know there are those here today, Father, that have the greatest of problems. Lord, they have a spiritual problem. Lord, it's called sin. God, it's not under the blood. God, I pray, meet with them this morning. God, I pray, do what is necessary, Lord, to Father, to have them, that they might come to Jesus. Lord God, that they might be saved. Lord, they simply don't have the promise of another hour. God, their life is but a vapor, and they're one step, God, between them and death. God, that's what your word says. Lord, let them see that today. And God, I pray for what is accomplished. We'll give you the glory and the honor. God, I pray, Father, if there's hindrances today, God, remove them. And Lord, I don't want the devil to have any part in this service. So God, I pray, let your Holy Spirit, God, have his will and his way this morning. We'll give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, although you look around in the world today and you see great wickedness everywhere you turn, but I don't want that to dishearten you today, church. I know society is discouraging. I know the world is discouraging. I know the direction that the devil has gotten the world on is a discouraging track. But I don't want to let that discourage you today. And sadly, I know that not only is the world full of wickedness, but sadly, many of the church today are full of apathy. They simply don't care much about the things of God anymore. They're simply satisfied with being where they're at with Christ at all times, just getting just enough maybe to slide by. And it's a poor example of what a Christian ought to be. I'll understand that. But church, I don't want you to be discouraged by them either. Those of you that are on fire for God and living for the Lord Jesus Christ and giving Him everything you've got, don't let that discourage you today. Because I want you to know that Jesus Christ is still on the throne and He will reward your life. I'm glad for that today. I'm glad I can stand on His Word. I'm glad I can trust in God and know that God is there for me all the way. And I thank God. But you know, there was a lady that asked the great evangelist Billy Sunday one day, came to him. Billy Sunday, you remember, was a great preacher, an evangelist of the Word back during the days of Prohibition, days before the Great Depression and after the Great Depression. He was a Major League Baseball player and he gave it all up to become an evangelist, to go preach the gospel. And a lady came to Billy Sunday one day and said, "Preacher, why do you keep having revivals when it doesn't last?" You think about that. How many revivals have we gone through and it's been like it's, you know, everything's good for a few weeks or maybe a little time, and then all of a sudden everybody goes back to the way that they used to be. And lady, you know, folks, it's not just the pastor that sees that. Folks, the world sees that too. That's why it's so important when we get a touch from God, we don't just fall right off next week back to the way we... Because let me tell you something, there's a lost and dying world out there that looks at your life, and if you've fallen by the wayside just shortly after you got fed by God, they're going to say, "Man, this thing's not real. Why bother to get involved with that mess? Because it didn't do anything but stick them up for a week or two, and now they're falling right back to the where they were at." Folks, and this lady asked Billy Sunday, said, "Why do you keep having revivals when it doesn't last?" He looked at her and asked her a question in return. He said, "Why do you keep taking baths? Why do you keep taking baths? Or are you worried about the way you smell?" Well, folks, I'm worried today about the way the church smells. I'm worried about the way the church smells. Because I want to keep having revival. Come on. Get with me this morning. I want to keep having revival. I want this thing to continue on. I want God to continue to move. And I'm just praying God show up. That's all I'm praying. Folks, if you hear me pray in the morning, I'm not praying God do this, God do that. I'm just simply, Brother Jesse, I'm as honest as I can be with you this morning, brother. All I'm praying is God show up. And what you're seeing happening in this church here since April is a manifestation of God's presence showing up. Folks, I like it when God shows up. I like it when God comes in and takes control of things. I like it when God changes. I like it when God makes me so miserable about being so apathetic that I can't stand myself anymore. I like it when God does that. But you know what, folks? No matter how you and I may define revival, the pattern of revival is always the same. Throughout the Word of God, the pattern for revival is always the same. First, God comes. It's that simple. If you want to have revival, if you want to be touched by God, if you want to see families change, you want to see lives change, you want to see a church on fire, you want to see things happening, let me tell you something, God's got to show up. If God doesn't show up, we're no different than the Lions Club. If God doesn't show up, we're no different than the VFW. If God doesn't show up, we're no different than going down to the baseball field and hooping and hollering over somebody hitting a home run. Folks, if God doesn't show up, we're no different than anything else. But I'm telling you today, I didn't come to see you. I came to see God this morning. I want Him to show up. The blessing is I get to see everybody in the process. But I'm going to tell you right now, I came for one purpose this morning, and that's to see God manifest Himself. And secondly, the gospel is loved as never before. Folks, when God shows up, you know what happens? His nearness creates an overwhelming awareness of our own personal sin and our sinfulness. And folks, when you get a picture of your sin like God wants you to see your sin, it will result in the fact that His cleansing blood is appreciated more than ever before. We can sing about the blood and it don't mean nothing to us. We can preach about the blood and it don't mean anything to us. We can stand up and say, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, and not pay a bit of attention to what we're singing. But folks, let me tell you something right now. When God comes by and you see the holiness of this great one and you realize your sinfulness in the sight of Him, folks, it makes you appreciate ever more the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. And folks, then the Holy Spirit thirdly works and He multiplies godliness in our lives. He matures us as Christians and He makes converts out of the lost. Folks, that's revival right there. It starts when God shows up. And then secondly, when we see our sinfulness and we get appreciative of the gospel of Christ. And then thirdly, when you see the Holy Spirit of God move in and things begin to change. Folks, let me tell you something. I like revival. But revival hurts sometimes. Because in order for you and I to have revival, sometimes the Holy Ghost of God's got to take that sword like Brother Neil was showing us the other night. And He's got to dig down deep and get some junk out of our lives. And let me tell you something. If any of you ever been jabbed with anything before or been stabbed, you realize how much that hurts. Let me tell you something. It hurts when you get stabbed. It hurts when you get things jabbed in you. And the Word of God, sometimes it hurts. And sometimes God's got to dig a little bit and move some things out of the way and pluck some of this stuff out of our lives. And you know what? It hurts sometimes. But boy, when it's done, glory to God. Aren't you glad you can stand forth? There may be a wound gaping this big in your heart. But I'm glad there's still a balm in Gilead that can come along and put the salve of His healing hand over top of that. And before long, He's healed me, praise God. I don't have that thing anymore digging down in me. I don't have to be bound anymore by the trash. I don't have that thing walking around with me anymore because God came in. And God done a work in my life. And God cleaned it out. Hallelujah. I'm glad. You know, for many here this morning, I don't doubt you couldn't relate to what Jacob endured in life. You know, throughout Jacob's life, you see, he was troubled by his events of his life and all the influence of those that were around him. You remember at an age he was forced to leave his home. Later on, he was deceived by his uncle Laban. Then there was a time that he had to live with four wives and 12 children. Folks, if that wouldn't depress you, nothing would right there. His sons, 12 sons, 10 of them, full of rank immorality and sin. The only two that didn't live in sin was Joseph and Benjamin. His wife died, giving birth. The wife that he loved the most died, giving birth unto Benjamin. His brother Esau hated him for a time, wanted to kill him. His 10 sons deceived him and stripped his favorite son Joseph from him. And folks, let me tell you something. Jacob didn't have much of a song anymore after that. Jacob didn't have a testimony anymore after that. Jacob didn't have rejoicing in his spirit after all of that. And I don't doubt that there's many of you here this morning that can relate with what Jacob is dealing with. And because of that, you're not shouting from the rooftops about the love of God. You're not out here telling your neighbors about God's grace. You're not out here preaching on a healing God after you've been told you've got cancer. Let me tell you something. You know what? I can understand there's some things that you're going through today. But folks, I want to encourage you that like Jacob, God can come on the scene. And you know what? God can restore your spiritual vitality. You don't have to let the cares of this world weigh you down to lose your testimony. You don't have to allow the cares of this world to weigh you down to lose your song and to lose your joy and all these things. Let me tell you something right now. God has given everything you and I need to be victorious in this life. Now, in this passage of Scripture that we see, the Bible says Pharaoh tells Joseph, he says, load some wagons up and take them back to your dad. Here, all these boys now. Joseph doesn't go with them, but the 11 boys are there. And Joseph has his men load up all of their wagons and take them back to where Jacob is at there in the land of Canaan. And he says, I want you to go get him and I want you to bring him back and tell him, hey man, I'm going to take care of him. And you know what? They did. They got all their wagons loaded and they headed on back down to Jacob. Here was Jacob, a man of God, but he had lost his testimony. Here was Jacob, a man of God. He had lost all of his praise. Here was Jacob, a man of God that was no longer rejoicing. Like what you and I saw here this morning. He allowed all the pressures of life. He allowed the fact that everything had fallen apart. He had allowed all these things that happened to him to destroy all of his rejoicing in his life. But I want you to know God had a wagon for him. And I want you to know this morning God has a wagon for you. If you're here today and you're lost without Jesus, I want you to know God's got a wagon for you today. If you're here today and you're settled where you're at and satisfied and smug in your Christianity, God has a wagon for you today. And if you're here today and you know what? You've allowed the trials of life to burden you down. You've been saved, but you know what? You don't have a testimony much anymore. You've been saved, but you're not rejoicing anymore. You've been saved, but you know what? You've allowed things to creep in. I want you to know God has a wagon for you today. And that's what I want to look at today is simply a little message entitled A Wagon from God. And I'm going to do this thing backward the way I did it the other night. But I want you to know, for those of you today that are satisfied, I want to tell you something. God's got a wagon for you right now. Number one, He loads the wagon of responsibility for you. Can I tell you, I don't care how satisfied you are in your Christian life, you still got responsibilities. And so many folks are satisfied to just come in and sit and never do a thing for God. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're shirking your responsibilities. Those of us that are saved, we ought to be serving God. We ought to be trusting God. We ought to be loving God. We ought to be telling others about God. We ought to be on fire for God. We ought to be enjoying our salvation. We ought to be serving God with all of our heart. The Bible said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul and all thy strength. He didn't say, love me when it's good. He said, but love me when it's bad. He didn't say, love me when you got plenty, but love me when you don't have nothing. He didn't say, love me when it goes your way, but love me when it don't go your way. Let me tell you something right now. God is still worthy, hallelujah, to be praised. There's been things in my life that didn't go my way. There's some things like what happened last week. You know what? We try to plan, make order of things. But you know what? Sometimes God comes in, takes your old plans up and throws them out the door. You know what? I didn't go home and get on my pity party about it. I just said, praise God, I'm glad you showed up. Boy, I've been in some places before, in some churches before, that God never showed up. You try to preach in some of them spots sometimes. Brother Aaron, try to sing in some of them spots sometimes. Boy, they look a whole lot better going out than they did coming in. But I'm telling you right now, I'm glad when God shows up and gets in the house. Hey, God loads a wagon of responsibility. Look at these responsibilities. I'm going to go as fast as I can get through this thing. But I want you to stick with me this morning. He says, you've got a responsibility to tell this mandate. He said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. God has given you and I a vital mandate as Christians. He said, don't fall out by the way. Don't fall out, by the way. Now I know that the first thing that popped in your, it didn't mine anyway. Let me just put it that way. First thing that popped in my mind when it says don't fall out, by the way, is don't backslide, is don't fall into sin, is don't get corrupted on your way home. That'd be a good message to preach, brother. Let's don't get corrupted on the way home. You know, but that's not what that means. When you do a word study in the original Hebrew language, here's what that means. It says, boys, on your way home, don't start fighting. That's what that means when it says, don't fall out by the way. You know what? You've got to make it home one day. Don't fight each other on the way. Oh, some of you ain't shouting now.
Hey, don't fight. Don't fight on your way home. Hey, don't fall out by the way. You've got a path you've got to walk. You've got to get from Egypt, which is this world, and go to Canaan, which is a picture of heaven. And you've got a path you've got to go. And can I tell you something? If you get bogged down fighting each other, there's a likelihood you won't make it. And boy, we got enough fighting going on already to have to fight the world, fight the devil, fight our own flesh, fight all this trash that everybody keeps throwing at us. Man, let me tell you something. We don't need to be fighting each other. And folks, that's a vital mandate God has given you and I. Let me tell you something. It ain't about you and me. It's not about a big I nor a little you. It's not about one person being head over some, unless that one person is Jesus Christ. If there's anybody else's head over it, it ain't of God. Let me tell you right now, if God ain't on the throne of it, and if it ain't being led by His Word, it's a bunch of junk. But I'm going to tell you right now, He said, don't fall out by the way. It's not about me. I don't need to be high and lifted up. It's not about you. And we're not going to lift you high and lifted up and give you glory neither. It's all about Jesus who sits on the throne, and the train of His robe fills the temple with glory. Folks, when it becomes anything but that, close the doors and go home, because it ain't worth coming to. He says, don't fall out by the way. And then He says, hey, those of you that are satisfied, He said, not only do you have a vital mandate, He said, you've got a vast mission field. What are you satisfied for? What are you satisfied for? He said they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan. Here they go. They're going home. And He says, I want you to look all around you. You got to walk all the way through Egypt to get to the land of Canaan. And you know what? How many people are you going to pass by? How many people are you going to pass by that ain't serving God? How many people are you going to be so satisfied sitting that you'll never tell another person about Jesus? How long are you going to be satisfied with just what you got and where you're at in life? But let me tell you something. He says there's a vast mystery. He said, say not. Hey, I'll tell you what. Let's just look at that. Look in John chapter 4, if you would. And go to verse number 35. Look at what Jesus says in the book of John. I won't ask you to turn much this morning, but I want you to look at this one. John chapter 4 and verse number 35. Jesus said this, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Folks, you have a vast, vast mission field. And how in the world can we be satisfied knowing that all of these folks around us are dying and going to hell? How in the world can we be satisfied with that? And by the way, can I tell you where their mission field began? He sent them home. Did He not? Their mission field began at home. That's where it began. It began at home. He said, go back to Canaan. That's where your mission field begins. It begins right at home. Go back to that home where that one is lost. Go back to that home where that one's not serving God. Go back to that home and win that one for Jesus. Folks, we have a vast mission field. How in the world can we be satisfied when we got such a vast mission field? And not only does He say, if you're satisfied, you've got a mandate in the mission field. He said, you've got a message to tell them. He says in verse number 26 and 27, says, and they told Him, saying, Joseph is yet alive and is governor over all the land of Egypt. Folks, let me tell you something. Well, what would I say? Tell them Jesus is alive. Well, how would I reach them? Tell them Jesus saves them. Tell them God's grace is sufficient. Tell them that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Tell them that Jesus died on the cross, but tell him that God didn't leave him there. Tell him they took him down and put him in a borrowed tomb and rolled a stone in front of it and sealed it with a Roman seal and put soldiers on either side of it. And on the third and appointed day, that seal couldn't hold him. Them soldiers couldn't keep him, but the stone was rolled away. And Jesus came out of there triumphant over death and hell. Tell them about that. How can we be satisfied knowing we got such a great mission?
Folks, for those of us that are satisfied this morning, shame on us. Shame on us. For those of us that are satisfied, shame on us. I had a fellow tell me years back about his vision for his church. And he said, you know what, preacher? He said, I just want to keep everybody of God. If I can gain one or two along the way, that'd be good enough. That was his mission. Folks, I ain't satisfied with that. I ain't satisfied with that. I don't want one or two. Folks, I want as many as I can get. I want as many as I can get. And you know what? It'd be good. It would be wonderful. Glory to God, I tell you what. I'll say it anyway. Y'all look at me crazy when I say it. But it'd be good if we had a few others that would leave out here and begin to branch off and start ministries elsewhere. That's exactly what happened to the church of Jerusalem in the book of Acts. They didn't hang out in Jerusalem and build a 10,000 member mega church. They went all over creation, started churches everywhere they went. Let me tell you something right now. You know what that's called? Mobilizing. You know what they were saying, Brother Mitch? They said, Brother, we ain't satisfied right here. We ain't satisfied. Let me tell you something. If we're satisfied, God's got a wagon for us. I'm glad He does. I'm glad He's got a wagon for me. But then also those that are sleeping, God load your wagon too. For those of you that's sleeping, God load your wagon too. You know what He loads it with? He loads the wagon of revival for you. He says, hey, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. There's things going on around you. I'm moving. I'm wanting to do a work. And it's time to wake up. It's time to see God move. It's time to get where you need to be. Stop sleeping and wake up. For those that are sleeping, God loads the wagon of revival. You say, preacher, how does He bring revival? Well, He done it because He brought the revelation of life. And they told Him, saying, Joseph is yet alive and governor over all the land of Egypt. Let me tell you something right now. If you can sit here and sleep this morning with me telling you that Jesus is alive and He's coming back again one day and He's going to take His saints home to be with Him forever and ever, let me tell you something right now, there ain't nothing that anybody can do for you. But I want you to know right now that, bless God, when I get down in my spirit, when I feel like giving up, when it seems like God's not doing anything and it seems like people won't let Him, I can still look back in the message of God's Word and say, you know what? Whether all the world goes to hell around me, I know one thing for a fact. Jesus is alive. And when I hear that, I can't sleep. Glory to God, Jesus is alive. Brings the revelation of life in that wagon of revival. He also provokes the response of the heart in that wagon of revival. The Bible says they told Jacob all the words of Joseph that he'd said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Let me tell you something. When he heard the word of God and he saw the wagons, it provoked a response of his heart. He said at first when they told him the words of Joseph, he said, I don't believe them. But then when the blessings came behind the word, glory to God, ye get with me this morning. Some folks may not believe it. When I tell you God's going to take care of it, you may say, you know what? You don't know what I'm going through this morning. You don't see the pain that I'm in. You don't know the suffering that I'm facing. You don't know the emotional turmoil of my life. When I tell you God's going to take care of it, you look at me like, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. You just hang on for a little while. And when the wagons of blessings come behind, what I told you, you'll know this little fat preacher was telling you the truth. He heard the word. He said, I don't believe it. God said, here, have a wagon. He said, glory to God. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. It provoked the response of his heart. And he said, praise God. It's enough. Is Jesus enough for you? It's enough. It's enough. And then that wagon of revival, it produced the restoration of his soul. Now I want you to look right here. All through this scripture, in chapter 45 that we read you, he's always referred to as Jacob all the way through. Do you remember at one point in time, in his journey through life, and you know what? He got a hold of God. And he said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. And you know what God did? God blessed him. You say, preacher, what did he give him? A new name. He gave him a limp, though, too. You know, sometimes to get honey, you got to get stung a little bit. He gave him a limp, but he gave him a new name. He said, no longer is your name Jacob, that old deceiver, that old trickster. He said, now your name's Israel. I'll give you a new name. But you know what? He got so down and out. He allowed this world to beat him up so bad, he went back to being a trickster. He went back to being a deceiver. He went back to... I wonder how many of y'all used to be faithful every service. And you know what? You can't come 2 weeks in a row anymore. I wonder how many of y'all used to stand up and praise God in this place, but you know what? You hadn't raised a hand in months. I wonder how many times you used to come to the altar during the Sunday school assembly and pray at the altar, but you won't even get up out of your seat anymore. Hey, let me tell you something right now. Why have you went back to that name for? Is He not enough? Is He not enough? Is He not enough? But you know what? After God once again revealed to him, you know what? You ain't got Joseph no more. You ain't had him 22 years. You may not even get Benjamin back, and all 10 of your boys are gone. Now here they're coming back. He realizes he's got Benjamin back. He realizes he's got them 10 boys back. But he still ain't got the wife that he loves. He still ain't got that son that he loved. He still ain't got all... And he's still living in the middle of a famine. All of that's going on all around him. But he finally came to a realization. I may not have nobody else. And it may look like I'm in dire straits all around me. But there's one thing I know. He is enough. And you know what? In verse number 28, Brother Tom, you'll find right there, it changed his name back to Israel again. Let me tell you something. Revival came and got a hold of Jacob. He was Jacob, lost and undone in his sin. God saved him, changed his name, but he backslid on God. He went cold on God. He allowed the pressures of life to destroy his testimony. But by the time God got done with him, once again, he was Israel. You know, I just believe God can do that for you. I just believe God can do that for you. And I know that He can. Because if He can do it for me, He can do it for you. He can do it for you. And then lastly and finally, let me give you this one. I'm going fast, I know. Let me do this one. I got to go backwards. Look, we gave you a wagon for the satisfied. We gave you a wagon for the sleeping. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're lost without Jesus, I'm not going to skip you today. God's got a wagon for you. God's got a wagon for you. And in that wagon, He loads it with redemption. He loads it with redemption. Let me tell you something. You're here today because God gave you a call. In verse number 19, see, we've got to go backwards in this. But in verse number 19, the Bible says Pharaoh commands Joseph to tell them old boys, he says, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives and bring your father and come. Come. Jesus Christ hung on the cross for you. Took your sin and mine. Bore our shame. Died. Rose again on the third day, ascended to the throne room of God above, and He sticks His hand out today and says, come, come. And not just you, but get your wife, get your husband, get your little ones. Bring them all with you. Just come. I'm telling you right now, God has a wagon for you. You may be here today and you say, I don't know Jesus as Savior. I've never been born again. What in the world can God do for me? He can give you a wagon, praise God. And it won't be an empty wagon. It'll be a loaded wagon, brother. He gives you a wagon that has a call in it. He says, come, 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 all ye that are weary and heavy laden. He said, come, and I'll give you rest. God says, come. The Spirit and the bride, they say, come. Let everyone come. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if you'll open the door, He said, I will come in unto you. Just come. And then not only does He put a call in there, but He puts a commitment in there. In your wagon of redemption, God puts a commitment in there. The Bible says in verse number 20, look at this. This is about as easy. People say the King James is hard to understand, but I don't know what Bible they're reading. All I know, look at verse number 20. Also regard not your stuff.
Folks, I don't know how it can be spelled out any plainer than that. Let me tell you, I didn't need the NIV for that. I didn't need the nearly inspired version, brother. I need the one that is inspired, don't you? Let me tell you something right now. I don't need an NASB, an ECV, a New King James, an NIV, a living Bible. My Bible is living, praise God. I don't need all those things. All I need is for God to tell me, regard not your stuff. Let me tell you something. What do you got before you and God? What's keeping you from being saved? Do you think that it's going to last throughout all eternity? Do you think it's going to keep you from an eternal damnation? Do you think it's enough to save your soul? Do you think that job's enough for you? Do you think that home is enough? Do you think your money is enough? Do you think your cars, do you think your boats are enough? Do you think your relationship with your friends and neighbors and wives and husbands are enough? Do you think this church is enough? Do you think your heritage, your genealogy is enough? Let me tell you right now, you've got to get to the point where you realize none of that's enough. None of that's going to save me. None of that's going to keep me. None of it's going to get me to heaven. I've got to get to the point where I don't regard my stuff. When you get to that point, then you begin to hear. You begin to hear the call. He says, come. 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 Don't regard your stuff. Don't regard your stuff. He puts a call, he puts a commitment, and the very last thing, he brought a change. He brought a call, he brought a commitment, and he brought a change. Now listen to me. In verse number 22, I believe it is, it says that he gave every one of those boys a change of raiment. Now Benjamin, he really blessed him. But irregardless, he gave all of those boys a change of raiment. Let me tell you something. God will change a man, Brother Mark, when he gets saved. He'll change a man. He changed me when I got saved. And he'll change you when you get saved. You can look me in the eye and say, preacher, I'm saved, and you're still out here hopping around everywhere, and you're still out here drinking and cussing and smoking dope and running around and doing everything, and you tell me you're saved, I'll tell you that's a lie. I look you right dead in the eye and say, you don't know what salvation is. Let me tell you something. When God saves a man, he'll change a man. If the change never happened, salvation never happened. Now, let me tell you right now, I used to love the things of the world. Man, if there was a place to be that I could party and have a good time, that's where I wanted to be. I spent everything I had on doing stuff like that. Lost my family because of it. Lost my job because of it. Lost my place of residence because of it. Lost my car because of it. Lost it all. Lost all my dignity, all my respect, everything about it. But you know what? When God came down, I could stand here today and sing glory, glory, glory. It was on a Friday that somebody touched me. He touched me, praise God. And you know what? When he touched me, he changed me also. I had a fridge that was full of alcohol. And I went the next morning after I got up and I popped the caps, Brother Ward, took it to the sink, brother, and poured it down the drain. Let me tell you something. When God got a hold of me, he changed me. I had one of the filthiest mouths you'd ever hear in your life. I couldn't say three words without there being an F in there somewhere. But I'm going to tell you right now, since the day he saved me, brother, I hadn't cussed anymore. I'm going to tell you right now, when God saves you, God will change you. Glory! Wouldn't you like to be changed this morning? Wouldn't you like to know what this thing's all about? Wouldn't you like to be saved today? God has a wagon for you today if you'll come. Brother Eric, come on, brother. Would you stand tonight? As they come, wouldn't you like to be saved? Wouldn't you like to be changed? Wouldn't you like to be set free? Oh, let me tell you something. There are those of you here today. There are those of you here today. You're not saved. You're lost. You're lost and on your way to a devil's hell. But I want to tell you, there's good news. Number one, here's the good news right here. I'm going to yell it where you can hear me. God didn't make that place for you. Let me tell you something. God didn't make that place for you. He never created hell for you. He never created damnation for you. He never created any of those things for you. But I'm going to tell you right now that God made a place for you. He called it heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am there, you can be also. Let me tell you right now, Jesus wants to save you today. He wants to save you and put you on a road to heaven. He'll change your life. I promise you he will. But those of you that are sleeping here this morning, don't you you think it's time to wake up? Don't you think it's time to get serious on God? Do you believe you're going to sleep your way into glory? I don't believe that. Don't believe the Bible teaches that. But I'll tell you right now, you can become alive today through Christ. And if you're here and you're satisfied, I hope God shakes you down to your shoes today. I hope you realize, let me tell you something, as good as God has been to us, it ought not satisfy you. It ought to make you hungrier for more. It ought to make you hungrier for... I can sit down at the banquet table at the best restaurant, and you know what? I can be starved to death, and I'll feed myself. And Brother Tom, I don't know how many times I've come out in places thinking, man, I've eaten too much. I'm so miserable. But you know what? In my mind at that moment, Brother Ward, I'm thinking, I ain't never going to eat another thing, brother. I'm so stuffed. I tell you, I'm miserable. But Brother Jeff, it only takes a few hours, brother, for me to get hungry again. It only takes a few hours for that to empty out, and I'm empty, and I need something else. Let me tell you something, I'm not satisfied this morning. I need more, hallelujah. I need more today. Do you need more today?
Amen. Number 360.
Come on.